Tania Acheron, thanks again for joining us on the Creator Room podcast. I think you now have the record for being on more times than anyone else in history, which is great, yeah?
Keep coming back.
So be proud. So for those people who can't remember what you're about, could you please introduce yourself again for the audience?
Of course, yes. So my name is Tania Acheron. I'm from Puerto Rico originally. And I am a lecturer in arts, health, and well-being at USW. And I also founded a company called The Body Hotel, which I think has been kind of the focus of our previous conversations here. So it's a social enterprise that focuses on employee well-being for NHS staff, and also working with marginalized communities.
So it focuses on health and well-being, but it focuses on health and well-being in quite a specific and, I would say, fairly unusual way.
Yes, yeah? Definitely.
So do you want to explain The Body Hotel, how it kind of works? And yeah,
be good. I am a trained dance movement psychotherapist, which is part of the arts therapy. So there's dance movement, music, art, drama. And essentially, what I'm trying to do is cultivate, you know, create spaces for people to understand their body and the relationship between movement and well-being. So working with the body, we're working creatively with the body is at the core of what we do, but we also, you know, draw upon arts and collaborate with other people from other disciplines to create those spaces.
Okay. And in my case, you this year, because I teach on professional practice modules, you've come in and you've worked with journalism and other students, and they're really not used to that kind of stuff. I mean, to your credit, you've taken, I think, quite a softly approach to it, and not made them do, you know, stuff they're not very uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. But it has been interesting to me how you've been using, in terms of employability, actually. And, you know, professional practice and building up confidence, etc., literally through quite straightforward methods of movement.
Yeah, I think that's been a core value of just making movement concepts and movement strategies accessible to everyone. The idea really is that connection, connection to your body, which, you know, this is your instrument. This is what we have, right, to engage with our world. So I often work with people who've never engaged with movement in that capacity, but we're looking at how your body really gives you key indicators of what's going on way before you even think about it, cognitively understand it. So there's always these indicators. They're imprinted, I think, firstly as survival mechanisms, but it's that ability to really use the body as a source of information. And so there's different strands to what I do within the company. With The Body Hotel, we've been working, we have different partners, different health boards that we've been working with, who've been big advocates for the work. Obviously, as you can tell, like, you've been kind of on the other end of this. Sometimes when you say to people movement for well-being, they're going, what's happening? What is this? What do you mean? Right. Yeah. Or people straight, you know, jump to other understandings of dance, like strictly come dance, you know, which is an aesthetic part of dance, or, oh, I don't dance, I do have to left feet. But it's really deconstructing that. And we were using this piece of research about how the body is the first indicator of risk in compassion fatigue, for example. So lots of studies, they've been doing these different studies around the toll that it takes when you're in the caring professions. And this could also include education, right? The toll that it takes of giving or facilitating, holding spaces for people. And that it has this effect on the body, and how then we can use different strategies to protect or to resource or to replenish the energy that is kind of given to others. And the difficulty is taking that time. You know, I call it protected time. So defending that time actually with your administration, with your with management. So what we've done, it can get really challenging. So what we pitched to Health Education and Improvement Wales, who also supported us on our previous project, so this is the second iteration of this project, was this concept of trying out different formats. For example, so we had the online format, which we did in our previous one. We had a space on Saturday mornings where we could give a bit more time in person to deepen the practice, because it's an ongoing practice of resourcing, really, and understanding and listening. And also we had to do a little configuration. We wanted to trial something out of doing little 20-minute interventions. So online, we had this platform called Gwetla, which is the kind of online learning platform, kind of similar to in the university as like Blackboard.
Okay.
Health Education Improvement Wales, the team at Gwetla, amazing, facilitated these little 20-minute nuggets of online.
So that's obviously a Welsh word, yes?
Gwetla, yeah.
Well done. Great pronunciation for Puerto Rican there.
Getting there. 7 years in Wales, you get it. And then that was interesting, because what we noticed was that there was a bit of a shift in people's needs. People wanted something more in person. People are really tired of being in Zoom.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting shift of, we need to cater to doing an All Wales initiative where any kind of staff member would be able to access us and access the sessions. And also going in. So we ended up going into several hospitals. We were all around. The Grange University Hospital reached out to us first.
Oh, brilliant, good.
In Aberystwyth. And they had a well-being week, so they wanted to try something new. So we went, and then we approached them to do these 20-minute interludes with the nurses in the ICU.
Oh, yeah. Oh, brilliant.
And the reception was really, you know, the work was really received really well. People were like, what? And I was like, well, let's take 20 minutes. Listen, 20 minutes. And with the support within the nurse managers, the division managers, because they were like on it.
Right.
They were like, here, I'll cover it. You're going to cover this patient, blah, blah, blah. And this person's going to come in. And in those 20 minutes, you know, people came in. Sometimes, you know, the nurses, you know, I always say the nurses are our angels, honestly, the kind of work that they do. It came with a lot of pain and or fatigue, or the feet were sore, and 20 minutes of engaging with movement. They laughed, they played. You know, I kind of tailor, this is the training as a dance therapist. These were not therapy sessions, by the way. These are kind of well-being. There's quite different contracts in well-being, but you could see the results of just engaging in something different that's physical. We do things that are, you know, just engaging with the playful aspects of the self, because as adults we don't get to play.
Okay, so I mean that's interesting, because obviously you asked me earlier, and I'm not even sure how I answered you really, but you asked me about links with YYFM, etc. And of course YYFM, which is this, you know, for people who don't know, people listening, well, they might know now, YYFM is an online virtual at point of demand virtual hospital radio station where there's no studio, and it's all, you know, so the beauty of it being online is it can share content wherever. So it happens to come, it's connected with the Grange, as you know, as Bertie Yesterdvauer, part of Nairn Bevan University Health Board. But it doesn't really kind of matter, in some ways, it doesn't really matter where it is.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, it's feeding out. Yeah. And one of the things that it feeds out, because it's online, all over the world really, is this well-being series. And so obviously, you know, what you're doing is quite different, but it's another aspect of well-being. And I think that's where YWFM would like to connect with you.
Yeah.
And maybe if you're interested, I'm speaking out loud now for Stephen Davis, because, you know, I know him really well, the guy who founded it. But we tend to think the same stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, it'd be fantastic to get some content out like this to share that well-being, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And part of this project was also, as you were saying, kind of having something that's independent of the in-person, in-session work.
Yeah.
We also commissioned, this was funded by Arts Council Wales, and they have an Arts, Health and Wellbeing Fund. And HEIW also came in as a co-funder. And then also we had another partner, Cymdeithas Morgannwg University Health Board, who have been our biggest advocates.
So I'm really impressed with the Welsh pronunciation shout. Again. You know,
thank you.
Like fluent Welsh, you know?
Oh, no, not yet. Yeah, still Spanish is pretty the good. Only other language. Pretty good. But we commissioned 6 movement specialists as
yeah.
well.
Oh, wow.
To create part of our ongoing series called the Body Concierge. Body Concierge is exactly what you're saying, like distilling a movement strategy in 5-6 minutes where people could take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And it exists as a YouTube playlist. We had Welsh speaking specialists. So we have one of those is in both Welsh and English. Had drama therapists, movement therapists from London, Argentina, and one based in the Netherlands. It's translating these concepts into concrete practices, and then the project ran April to October 2023, and then another part of it, which is here, where University of South Wales really comes in strong. So they've been our external evaluators. Professor Carolyn Wallace and Professor
good.
Mary Lynch, who's visiting professor, and Teresa Filipponi was the research associate, who's also working at the University of South Wales. So it was they did what's called a social return on investment evaluation.
Oh yeah.
Which was a recommendation from the previous project. The previous project found a lot of surprising things, and their recommendation was to actually document the social value, so they kind of translate into monetary terms.
Okay.
Which is what we're going to be presenting on our culmination event.
So tell me as much as you can about you've got an idea for an event.
Yeah.
Tell me as much as you can, because I know there's stuff you want to keep under wraps to a certain extent.
Yeah, the social return on investment evaluation was one of the key components underpins a lot of the arts, health and wellbeing funding grants. And I think it's really valuable just to have somebody external come in, run focus groups, interviews. We did also some surveys, and then they calculate. They have this really particular method, a very complicated method of calculating differences in well-being outcomes and social value attributed to a project. So that's been really unique for a project of this size, really, because it's, you know, relatively a really small project. So the event is to celebrate also along the movement specialist. There's so many parts of this project. I know it gets really confusing, but was creating also a short film documentary about our process, interview some of the participants, and also some of the key like nursing managers, you know, even people who came to our workshop. They're like, can you please do this for my staff team? So we went to St. David's Children's Hospital.
Great.
We went to Morriston Hospital Library, a couple of projects with libraries, which was really cool. They wanted Morriston Hospital and Prince Charles Hospital in Merthyr, that was with Cymdeithas, wanted to repurpose their library spaces for to have it as a creative, safe space, well-being space. And I thought, oh, that's such a great thing. So the Arts and Health Coordinator, SL George, who's incredible, she's a drama therapist as well, so she gets it, was like, come in for a well-being event. So we went in, you know, this idea of going into the different hospitals.
You wouldn't see that in a library, would you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. In Prince Charles Hospital, we were like completely sold out. Like, well, it's free, but like we were full at capacity. Service users, care staff, all coexisting in the same space, all engaging with movement, all kind of reflecting on their daily life. So that was really, yeah, it was really surprising how people were like, I was like, really? We're like, yeah, we're booked up. It's like, great, amazing. And it's just great to create those spaces, even, you know, in a traditional, you know, medical library in a hospital.
Yeah.
So that was really, really fun to do.
Trying out these approaches within different modules, in my case, you know, with journalism and other students, media culture and journalism students.
Yeah.
How have you found that, and how has it, you know, is it working? Is it achieving what you kind of envisaged, or are you finding something else?
Yeah, well, the thing is that this is like, I call them puppies, my different puppies. And my university puppy is what you're describing, which is an upcoming book that I have. I'm you know, finishing writing a book on decision making through movement. So I've been using some of the interventions from that book and trialing it out across all the different programs with the, you know, underlying advocacy stance that I have, which is movement is part of your daily life. Therefore, if we understand that, then we can engage with our professional identity, with making decisions, and in the case of this project, with well-being. So that's the difference. We need a separate podcast for the decision-making one when I launch the book in 2025. But essentially, it is bringing skills, understanding the skills of your body offers in terms of communication, engagement, relationships, conflict, difference. You know, one of the big things is around diversity and inclusion. And those things, you know, they're just two separate projects, though, from the
okay. So is that something you're looking to continue with then, in terms of feeding that content into placement modules and professional practice modules for employability?
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, that's the my, you know, pipe dream is to, you know, obviously there's the employee well-being, occupational health work that I'm doing. You know, I started with the NHS, but I would love to see that grow into other industries as well, because, you know, we have these CPDs, we have these staff development things, but they're talky events and you sit and you talk. But what I noticed from people, and you probably saw that, with the students, non-verbally, and the kind of connections and, you know, discoveries that you have with somebody else when you engage with them through movement, come a lot quicker and faster. And they're sometimes even more meaningful than if you had a chat about.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's a couple of things to say on that. Firstly, staff training days are not always fantastically enjoyable. They're not fantastically interesting sometimes, and sometimes you're just looking at your watch, really, you know, if I'm honest. But go back to those in-class sessions, those students who you work with, because you work with second and third year students, you work with students from China, you work with students from all over the place, and some of them didn't actually know each other very well, and so I've been in there week by week with them, and they don't even talk to each other. But so having a couple of sessions with you in there was a really fantastic icebreaker for me, particularly from the international point of view, where, because in that particular group, interestingly, there's a group of 10 students, 5 are from England and Wales, 5 are from China, you know, Shanghai, actually. And so all of those kind of cultural differences and not even knowing each other very well, through what you did, worked really, really well, you know, from my point of view.
That's nice to hear that. Yeah, I mean, I think that there is something to be said about the, you know, and I don't want to go too much on a tangent about the, you know, just movement is powerful, and engaging with creativity in that way transcends a lot of cultural barriers, or, you know, even social barriers. And people don't understand that, because, you know, maybe in some cultures, dance and movement have kind of gone under the radar, but they're primal primal things. It goes back to the beginning of humanity, of how we engaged with each other before language evolved in whatever way. So there's a and with when I work in many spaces, you know, I'm doing a lot of work now with the business clinic, for example, and that's kind of going to be one of the partnerships going on, because I feel like there's two sides of my brain. There's the sides of health, you know, supporting the health and social care workforce, and there's also the kind of shifting this idea about the role of the arts in business, the role of the arts in health, the role of the arts in fields. Even hopefully I'll get to do even engineering, you know.
Well, we've done it in a library, so
right?
Why not?
Arts and STEM, we did it in a library, right? Yeah. So it's really interesting to disrupt these ways of thinking. And we've had a beautiful collaboration, and that, you know, hopefully something grows out of that. In terms of, you know, working with Barton Rowling from Business Clinic at USW, and them coming into the workshops, you coming into a workshop, people who go, I would never move, right?
Yeah, well, you know,
it was great, and I'm like, I got Steve to move. Now,
well,
it
he told
on,
me I had to. He said, no,
on the record,
no option, you know,
because the proof ultimately, I say to anyone that's a bit hesitant, I'm like, the proof is in the pudding, and I've had that. You have to come into a workshop, you have to be tested to be a little bit outside your comfort zone, and work through the anxiety or work through the resistance. And everyone that's kind of gone, even if someone comes to a workshop and goes, this is not for me, they engage differently. And that's ultimately the goal. And then going back into this project, that's what we want to highlight. We don't want to go, oh, movement is for everyone. Well, maybe a movement session is not for everyone.
Okay.
But what I found with staff teams was like, the feedback was, I've never engaged with my colleagues in this way. We were able to laugh. You know, I had groups of, you know, nurses, I had groups of occupational therapists, different groups. And they're like, oh, I was able to actually feel the support from my team, you know, be able to reach out for support, call for help, and break down those barriers so that those workplace relationships have a different opportunity in a different, you know, environment in a way with this different set of conditions. And I think that happens a lot when you tap into, you know, there's a lot of ways that we do that in activities, because everything that I do has to have a lens of inclusivity, you know, have inclusion. Everything is, I try to keep in mind everybody's different abilities. Have 5 million versions of exercises actually to, you know, hopefully encourage people just to feel comfortable, and also to work through the discomfort. But, you know, there's a lot of elements of my practice about constantly challenging, you know, an ableist stance, or, you know, a particular cultural perspective, or and those things, like you said, with those international groups, that comes into play because I'm an international person here, right? I'm often in a what's going on kind of situation, and I know what it's like to be the other.
One thing you said there was quite interesting. You talked about the primal nature of movement, and you made a really interesting point, which, let's face it, most people will never think about. You know, you're moving before we could talk, you know. So in my case, as you know, I'm, you know, sound is my thing. So as a guy, I refer to a guy called Walter Murch, who's kind of the king of sound, really, in the movie world, in Hollywood and whatever. He's one of the greatest sound designers in the world. And he had this film that he was part of. And in the film, the first part of the film is, he talks about how sound is our first sense, that because we hear the world before we see it, you know, because here in this building and lots of universities, let's face it, everything's visual, you know. So it's nice to be able to recognize the primal nature of sound, and in your case obviously the primal nature of movement. But then you also talked about creativity. So in terms of what you do and it's working with movement, how do you kind of succinctly summarize that as a creative process?
Well, I think there's many layers to this, but I talk in my book about experiencing life through your body. So there's like a sensory, there's a sensory aspect that I work with, you know, because sounds essentially like words. I mean, you weren't born with like ears floating in the, you know, they're attached to your body. so funny because the music therapist say the same thing. It's like sound is the same. It's like, well, yeah, but also is sense, you know, proprioception, and you're born in an immersive environment. So I think both sure, arguments yeah. are mm-hmm. part of the same, right? Mm-hmm. That this came way before words, right? Attachment, nurturing, snuggles, cuddles, right? They came before. So because the priorities, societal priorities on words. How do I do that? So there's a sensory aspect of that, but also I'm quite an avid believer in representation. So how you represent your daily life through a creative media. So it could be through music, or it could be visual art, or so that process of representing something. They're two distinct, often sometimes interlinked process, and I have a whole chapter now writing about that process of life, you know, when you're movement and it triggers something in your life, which has happened in my sessions, right? You're thinking, you're doing some kind of whatever moving, you go, oh, this is how I often do, oh, I've done this in, right? So there's a connection into that. But there's also a different way where I do some often activities where we are too close to it and we're not able to unpack all of the what's happening. So we use something external to represent an object, a symbol, a metaphor, or, you know, a drawing, piece of music.
Okay, that's creative.
And I think that's the way that I think I see that relationship between creativity being acted out or acted in.
What's next? And you talk about your puppies, so you know
the puppies.
You're juggling these invisible puppies. What's next?
Yes. First, I wanted to celebrate one of the puppies. That's one of the things that I think we don't often do. Take a moment and celebrate. And so we on the 21st of February, we are doing a culmination film event. So. We worked with filmmaker Sam Irving on the short film, who has worked with me now 3, 4, 5 projects. I love my collaborative team. I love it. I kind of stick, you know, I had the same music composer for 12 years. You know, I just love being around these people. And Teresa is going to do a presentation on the SROI evaluation, and we're going to have a pause about what's happened, what have we learned, some of the stumbles, okay. mm-hmm. Some of the learnings. Hopefully fingers crossed, another application to work with Velindra, so the cancer center here, the Velindra Trust, to do a more honed in process of working with palliative care nurses. So we'll see about this. It depends on the funding powers that be. And our long-term ambition as a company is to have a space and create more spaces and have an arts health and well-being center. So we're in the process of getting funding to have an actual space in Cardiff. That's a dream. We'll see, unless somebody gets there first. But on the other puppies, well, I need to focus on finishing this book. And there'll be a lot of wraparound activity around that, and also okay. some new collaborations with the business clinic, and hopefully some corporations come forward and kind of invite us.
Well, I mean, one of the things I'm hoping will happen, like I said before, is maybe to get you more connected with YYFM, because YYFM, you know, and Ira and Bev and University Health Board have a certain kind of territory, mostly the Caerphilly County Borough, you know, in Wales. But Stephen's dream with YYFM, I think in some ways coincides with yours, is that if you've got this great content, you know, let's connect with other, in their case, other health boards, other hospitals, wherever they might be. And if you've got well-being content, then well-being content is well-being content, you know. Yeah. It's just shareable and useful wherever it goes. Yeah. So the more connectivity and articulations we can create to create opportunities to share, you know, social well-being content, the better, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So good luck with your event. I hope it goes really well.
Thank you.
And obviously happy to help you as much as we can and promote what you do. And thank you, Tania, very much.
All right. Thank you, Steve.